This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah. Wassalatu wassalam ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa wala. Rabbi shahli sadri wa yasirli amri wa ahlu luqtatan min lisani. Afqahu qawli. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Welcome to A Juz A Day. Today we have with us the 25th Juz of the Quran. We are nearing our end, or the end of our study. Subhanallah, it is a bittersweet feeling because it is a nice feeling to complete something, studying it and giving its due. Also, it is, of course, sad because we are concluding our study of the Quran, and that's the bitter part of it. With that, though, we'll begin. Surah Fussilat. Is the first surah of the 25th juz. Surah Fussilat is a surah number 41. Then we have Surah Ash-Shura, surah number 42. Then we have Surah Az-Zukhruf, 43, Ad-Dukhan, 44, and Al-Jathiyah, 45. This juz has 5 out of the 7 Hamim surahs, 5 out of the 7 Hawamim, as they are called. These surahs are called as such because they begin with the letters Hameen, excuse me. And these surahs were revealed to the Prophet ﷺ when he was in Mecca and had not left Mecca to go to Medina. The Muslims were a minority. They were not just a minority, they were actually a persecuted minority. And the Prophet ﷺ in that state was still commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to call the people to Islam. And this is the message of the Hamim, of all the Hamims, that it is, how is it that we do da'wah to Allah? Why is it that we do da'wah to Allah? And how we do this, especially as a minority. And this is pertinent to us because we are a minority as well, living in a largely non-Muslim majority. So how is it and why is it that we should invite people to Allah? That is what's discussed here. By and large, also some other themes that are found here is the example of Musa is repeated quite a bit because Musa alayhi salam has a lot of lessons for us to learn from his life and from his struggle. Also, the message of being gentle with people and ignoring the insults is very frequently repeated in these surahs because that's an important part of conveying the message and inviting people to Islam, but also an important part of as people who this is a way to soften people up. You know, you don't want to push them away. You want them to be brought close to you. So ignoring their insults is actually a way of doing that. If you respond to every single person's insult, then you will just become another person who insults people. But if you ignore them, then that hopefully gets the rationale, the good among the people to recognize that these are people of upstanding virtue and character. And that is a great way of inviting people to Islam. Now, Surah Fussilat began in the previous juz. Let me share my screen with you. We will actually begin there. And then we will continue on to, as the surah continues to the next juz, we'll go on to that. Now, Surah Fussilat begins with Hamim, Tanzeelu min ar-Rahmani ar-Rahim, excuse me, Kitabun Fussilat ayatuhu, Qur'anan arabiyyan liqawmi ya'lamun, bashiran wa nadhira, fa'a'rada aktharuhum, fahum la yasma'un. Hamim. A revelation from God, the most gracious, the most merciful. Kitabun Fussilat, a book whose revelations are well expounded, clarified revelation, the clarified verses of the Quran. And this is how Allah describes it, and that's where the names Fussilat of the surah comes from. It is a book, an Arabic Quran, and that part is obvious. But the Arabic Quran, the implication is it's a Quran that is eloquent, it's understood, it is not verbose. That's all the linguistic meanings of the word Arabiyyan there. And Quran also linguistically means something that's recited. So it's a recital. It is not just a mere reading like you read a book without, you know, verbalizing the words. This is actually meant to be read while the words are verbalized. Quran and Arabian. And when all that is taking place, قَوْلِ قَوْمِ يَعْلَمُونَ, it is for people who want to learn more. That is what the Quran is for. A beautiful description of the Quran. It is revelation from the Most Merciful. And that is part of da'wah. We again invite people by mentioning to them the beautiful aspects or how Allah is the most forgiving, the most merciful, the most loving, because that is what our heart is attached to. That is what our hearts, inclines towards. And that is mentioned earlier. Then also that the book is a book of clarity, a book that you can learn from. And unlike other books, it's a book that's recited and it is proclaiming good news and a warning. Both things are there. The balance of hope in Allah's mercy, looking forward to being forgiven, and fear of retribution or wrath of Allah, that is a combination that has to be struck. And the Quran, as you can see, strikes that at every opportunity. Yet most of them turn away and do not listen. Okay, now here is the da'wah to the people of Mecca by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And specifically, this is one individual by the name of Utbah ibn Rabi'ah. Utbah ibn Rabi'ah was a leader of Mecca, extremely influential person in Mecca. He was a man who, when he would say something, people would listen to. He was extremely eloquent in the way he spoke. And he was of the opinion that when the Prophet ﷺ started preaching Islam, he was of the opinion that let him be, don't touch him. Meaning, if he is a true prophet, then whatever he gains in this world, by default, people of Mecca, you will gain as well. Okay, so he's thinking of it as like a businessman. Okay? All of these guys were businessmen. And he's thinking of it like from a pure profit loss perspective. Okay, consider the two options. He's either a prophet or he's not. Okay, if he's a prophet, whatever he gains, we will gain too, because we're his people. Okay, and if he's not a prophet, then someone else will end him. Someone else will take care of him for us, and then our hands don't get dirty. Okay, so he's very, as you can see, an extremely astute politician. That was what he was explaining to the people, that that's what should be done. It is possible that Utbah, not just possible, it is highly plausible that Utbah maybe was hoping to that a point would come that the Prophet and the people of Quraysh would stop being at odds, because much of Utbah's family, like his son, accepted Islam, and then it was a lot of it was a man of wisdom. It wouldn't befit him to be a man of emotion like Abu Jahl was, or like Abu Lahab was. So that was his take. The people of Mecca were like, no way, we're going to, go after him and his people. So Utbah says, okay, let me go talk to him. Let me try to convince the Prophet ﷺ. Let me try to make him see reason. So he goes and he speaks to the Prophet ﷺ and he says, hey, Muhammad, can you stop this? Do you want money? We'll give you money. Okay, we'll make you the richest person in Mecca. You want power? You know what? We'll let you be the leader of Mecca. How about that? Okay, we'll concede power to you. You want women? Choose whoever you want, and we'll make sure you can marry that person. Right? By the way, at that time, the Prophet ﷺ is married only to Khadija radiallahu anha and nobody else. Utbah says his spiel. The Prophet asks him, are you done? أَفَرَغْتَ يَا عُتْبَةَ? He says, yes, I'm done. Now the Prophet ﷺ responds, and the response of the Prophet ﷺ is from this surah, the surah that we're studying. And when the Prophet ﷺ finishes his response and he gets to this ayah, فَإِنْ أَعْرَضُوا فَقُلْ أَنذَرْتُكُمْ صَاعِقَةً مِثْلَ صَاعِقَةِ عَادٍ وَثَمُودٍ. If they turn away, then say, I warn you of a lightning bolt like the one which struck Aad and Thamud, the ancestors of the Arabs. Utbah placed his hand on the Prophet's mouth and he said, I ask you because you are my family, because they were extended relatives. I ask you because we're extended relatives, we're family, extended family. I ask you by that link to stop reciting, please. Because he was truly afraid that if the Prophet continues to recite, a thunderbolt will come and strike him right away. That was Utbah, right? And that was when he left. Utbah got up and left. And the people, like Abu Jahl, said, "Ma bi Utbah ma qal." Like Utbah has he's gone. He went with one face, and he's come back with a different face. Meaning, he has completely changed his, like, you know, the way he looks now is like totally different. What happened, Utbah? Why are you so shocked? The Quran shocked Utbah so hard that he was just like visibly shaken. And he had to stop the Prophet because he was legitimately afraid that Allah will right now send a thunderbolt and end him. That is how the people of Makkah, when they heard the Quran, that was the effect it had on them. It literally blew their minds away. And then after Utbah had heard this, he said, "Guys, I told you this before and I'm going to repeat this even more now. Leave him alone. Don't get in his way." Unfortunately for Utbah, Utbah didn't even take his own advice. He ended up being dragged into the Battle of Badr, even though he wanted the Muslims, he wanted the people of Makkah not to fight. But, you know, that's what happens when you are surrounded by negative influences, people who are emotional like Abu Jahl, people who are irrational like him. And then the saying, the empty vessel makes the most noise. That is what ended up leading to the downfall of Utbah and the Meccan leaders. Eventually, they were all slain in the Battle of Badr. But Utbah, of all those people, was the most rational person. And this surah was revealed as a dialogue with the people of Mecca. But specifically, the man who heard it for the first time was Utbah ibn Rabi'ah. And it's interesting to describe that background and how profound of an effect it had, the Quran, on the people of Mecca, the people who understood it. Now, the people say, well, ma qulubuna fi akinna, our hearts are encased against that to which you call us, and there's a heaviness in our ears, and there's a barrier between us and you. Fa'amal innana amidun, do whatever you want. They're making an excuse. They're like, we're not really interested. Why do you keep preaching? We're not interested. Stop it. Okay. The response by Allah to this is, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ, I am only a human being like yourselves. يُوحَى إِلَيَّ, the difference is I received revelation from God, who is the most important part of the revelation is إِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهُ وَاحِدٍ, that your Lord is one God. You cannot be worshipping these idols and stones. فَاسْتَقِيمُوا إِلَيْهِ, that's the path you should tread. That's the path that you should focus on. وَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ, and ask for forgiveness. We make mistakes, it's fine. Don't let your mistakes make you arrogant and stubborn so that you don't ever think of reforming, or so you think that I made this mistake, now I'm going to stick with it. It doesn't matter what happens because I can't look weak in front of the people. And this was a thing, right? They were like, if we say yes, you're a prophet, we're going to look weak in front of the people. How can we do that? وَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ, it's okay. Allah is forgiving. We all make mistakes. Being stubborn on our mistakes, that's the fatal flaw. So the response is very clear. You can say you're not interested, but the Prophet is going to preach because that is the job of the Prophet, to call people to Allah. And don't try to mask your insecurity by saying we're not interested, we can't even hear you. No, this is for your own good, so listen. Allah highlights the creation of the cosmos here in ayah number 9. Do you deny the one who created the earth in 2 days? Days here, yawmain, is periods of time, not like 24 hours. Okay. And you set up equals with him. He is the Lord of the universe. And he has put firm mountains on the earth and has blessed it. Sorry, excuse me one second. We have all the kids, I don't know what they're doing. He has placed firm mountains on the earth and has blessed the earth, and measured out its sustenance all in 4 days. And this is for those who ask. 4 days, again, 4 periods of time. ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى إِلَى السَّمَاءِ وَهِيَ دُخَانٌ. And then he turned to the heaven, and he when it was a duhan, it was a vapor, and it said to the sky, the heaven here is the sky, اِتِيَ طَوْعًا أَوْ كَرْهًا, said to the sky and to the earth, come willingly or unwillingly. They both said, أَتَيْنَا طَائِعِينَ, we come willingly. The idea is the creation of Allah here saying that we submit. The earth is not like mukallaf. It's not like accountable for its actions, of course. It is a creation of Allah. But the idea is everybody in everything in the cosmos confines to the laws of Allah, to the system that Allah has created, to the will and command of Allah. And does so, ta'i'een, willingly. So what of you, O human? You think you are beyond all of that? You think you are at a point where that doesn't apply to you? No, in fact, it applies to you as well. You have a choice, willingly or unwillingly, and the hope is you choose to comply willingly. The unwilling part here is, of course, that on the Day of Judgment, you will have no choice, okay? And even in the world, even though you choose within the system that Allah has made for you. You cannot just, you know, break the laws of nature, break the system that Allah has made. You can't do that. So you are by default in compliance. But now the choice He's given you, do you have the ability to connect that your limited ability is because Allah has placed you as a limited human, and thus you limit, you humble yourself and make the choice to submit to Him, the one who has placed these limits? Is that the choice you want to make willingly? Or will you unfortunately regret the choice of not submitting to Him? He in 2 days formed the seven heavens and revealed to each heaven its function and adorned the lower heaven with brilliant lamps and stars and guarded it. And that is the decree of the Almighty, the All-Knowing. So this is something that Allah describes, the creation of the sky and the earth and this is something from the unseen. This is a matter of the unseen. Allah describes it, but it shows that the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was that He created all of this, and that is the decree of the Almighty, the All-Knowing. Now, he goes on to talk about the Arab ancestors. Okay, Aad and Thamud, they were Arab ancestors. So, since this is talking to the Meccan Arabs, now Allah speaks about their ancestors. Look at what they did. They had prophets that came, right? And the prophets that came to them said the same thing. La ilaha illa ta'budu illallah. Worship none but God. But then they had a very pathetic excuse. If God had willed, He would have sent down angels to us. We need to see some like crazy magic trick for us to kind of believe. Otherwise, all of this is just, you know, we'll never believe your message. Inna bima ursiltum bihi kafirun. Now, Aad, very interesting, were very powerful. They would say, "Man ashaddu minna quwwa?" If God is so powerful, how come we're so strong, right? Is really God stronger than us? And Allah responds to that is that, don't you see that you are existing in the system and the creation that He's made? So how can you be more, how can you be independent of Him? Right? You're part of the system that He's made. وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يَجْحَدُونَ. And yes, yet they continue to deny our signs. And thus, they were unleashed upon them was a raging wind of over several inauspicious days, fi ayyamin nahisat, to make them taste the torment of the humiliation in this life of the world, and then what's worse is the life of the next world. Wa ala adabul akhirati akhza, even more humiliating. And at that time, there will be no help. As for Thamud, they were given guidance. فَهَدَيْنَاهُمْ. Look at that. We offered them our guidance. This is what it means. Allah showed them the right way. This is the right way. This is what you need to choose. فَاسْتَحَبُّ الْعَمَى عَلَى الْهُدَى. But they preferred blindness to guidance. Look at Allah said. He didn't say فَاسْتَحَبُّ الضَّلَالَ عَلَى الْهُدَى. They chose misguidance or evil over guidance and good. Blindness. They chose to look away. They chose to not see. And that is what Allah ascribes to them. And that choice that they made, Allah, it's in the Quran, is akin to being someone who refuses to see. Subhanallah. And that is how he describes them. And that is actually the reality of many people, that the correct way of life in one way or at one time or the other is exposed to them. Their, like, their selves, like their soul searches for it and cries out for it. Now, once a person reaches that point, the question becomes for that person, will you follow the cues of your soul, of your fitrah, of your natural disposition to find and recognize and worship the God that who created you? Or will you choose to look the other way and distract yourself with other things? The one who does that, فَاسْتَحَبُّ الْعَمَى, has preferred blindness to guidance. We ask Allah for protection from that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes historically Ad and Thamud, and the relationship of why they are mentioned here is because they were the Arab ancestors of the Meccans. Consequences of the da'wah, right? Like, what happens? This is how you give da'wah. The Prophet is giving da'wah, explaining, talking about the universe, talking about history. Then what happens, people? That has to be explained as well. If you don't accept the consequences, you should know. On the Day of Judgment, ayah number 19, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَوْمَ يُحْشَرُ أَعْدَاءُ اللَّهِ إِلَى النَّارِ فَهُمْ يُوزَعُونَ. On the day the enemies of God shall be gathered together and driven to the fire, and they shall be formed into groups. And when they would come close to it, شَهِدَ عَلَيْهِمْ سَمْعُهُمْ وَأَبْصَارُهُمْ, their eyes and skins will testify against them for their misdeeds. They will say to their skins, why do you bear witness against us? Their skins will say, God who gives speech to all things has given speech to us as well. And it was He who created you in the first instance, and has, and to Him you are now brought back. And you could not hide yourselves from your ears and your eyes and your skins to prevent them from testifying against you. And you thought that God would never know much of what you did. But these thoughts which you entertain concerning your Lord have brought you to your destruction, and now you are among the utterly lost. This is a scene of regret. Like, not just that, not just is it that they are going to regret their choices, but their own body will testify against them if they try to deny it. And that is, you know, that is something that's a scary proposition, that there's no escape from the consequences of your choices. So, فَإِنْ يَصْبِرُوا, if at this point they are patient, فَالنَّارُ مَثْوًا لَهُمْ, the fire will be their homes. Now, there's two choices. Bear this punishment patiently, and that doesn't change anything. That's your home still. Or, وَإِنْ يَسْتَعْتِبُوا, فَمَا هُمْ مِنَ الْمُعْتَبِينَ, and if they pray to be allowed to make amends, if they want to just have a second chance, they won't be given so. If they complain, cry, pray, nothing will be, no heed will be given to them. Subhanallah. So it's a very, very scary scene that Allah presents to show, again, the consequences of not accepting the call, the invitation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the believers. Whenever He speaks about the regret and the punishment of the people who reject Allah, He speaks about the ones who believe in Allah as well, as a balancing act between fear and hope. What is that? Indeed, those who affirm our Lord is Allah, رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, they make that declaration, and then they live that declaration. They stay firm on that declaration. What happens when they are dying? تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ, in that extremely scary moment of their lives, who comes to their aid? Who comes to provide them comfort? Angels come to provide them comfort. And they will tell them, don't worry, don't grieve. In fact, be happy. أَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ, you're about to go to paradise. This is what you worked for your whole life. Be happy. Allah is going to give you what He has promised you. We will take care of your family. نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاءُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ, we are going to be your awliya will be your supporters in this life, meaning your kids, your people that you leave behind, will watch out for them. And in the next life as well. And you will have in the next life whatever you want and whatever you ask for. And that is a beautiful provision from the one who is ever forgiving and most merciful. We ask Allah to make us of those people. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. This is a very beautiful passage. The Quraysh, when the Prophet ﷺ started preaching, they wanted to drown out the da'wah. They wanted to drown out the Quran with their loud, distracting voices. Those who deny the truth, here is reference to the people of Quraysh, they would say, do not listen to this Quran, drown it out with noise so that you may gain the upper hand. Allah responds that, Prophet ﷺ, don't worry about it. We will deal with them. وَلَنُذِيقَنَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا عَذَابًا شَدِيدًا. We will certainly make them, those who are bent on denying the truth, will make them taste a severe punishment. Don't worry, we'll take care of them. But you, O Prophet ﷺ, you remain gentle. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. Who is better than the one who calls to God and does good works and say, I'm a believer? You continue to call and invite people to Islam. You continue to do your good works as a member of the Muslim Ummah, as a member of the community of the Muslims. Continue to do your good and just don't think too highly of yourself. إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. I'm just one of the believers. I'm nothing special. Just continue to act. And you, in the face of difficulties, in the face of insults, O Prophet, be gentle. وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ. Because good and evil is not equal. If someone says something evil, we can't just say evil as a retribution and think that all of a sudden we're equal and it's tit for tat. اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. And repel evil with what is better. That is the way of the Qur'an. اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. Repel evil with what is better. Ahsan is also beautiful. So the evil person or the evil comment has to be repelled with a beautiful, good comment. Or don't say anything, because sometimes not saying anything is all that you need to do. Then you will see the one who was once your enemy will then become perhaps your dearest friend. Because the whole point is da'wah to Allah is, you know, opening up people's hearts, inviting them to what's good. It's not just about, okay, I won this argument or I owned you or something. No, no. It's about all of us will submit to Allah and never closing that door, never allowing that door to close on people or shutting that door on a person, not letting that happen. So that's why the idea of inviting gently and repelling good with evil, evil with good, that is the instruction. And this is something that's difficult. So only, وَمَا يُلَقَّهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا. The ones who are patient, they're the ones who are able to pull this off. And the ones who have a lot of restraint, that self-restraint, ذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. That's a person who's able to pull it off, to repel evil with good, because it is one of the most difficult things to do in life. And we will make mistakes. إِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغُدْ. Satan will prompt us to do something, emotional, to say something irrational, to hurt somebody in that moment of emotion. If that happens, fasta'idh billah, seek Allah's refuge and shelter from the devil, because Allah is there to protect us from him. Okay, the Prophet ﷺ is the one who Allah says he faced all sorts of insults, but Allah tells him, look, O Prophet ﷺ, people before said the same thing to the prophets before. مَا يُقَالُ لَكَ إِلَّا مَا قَدْ قِيلَ لِلرُّسُلِ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ. Whatever is said to you, nothing is said to you, but what was said indeed to the messengers before you. ﷺ, surely your Lord is the Lord of forgiveness and the Lord of painful retribution. لَذُو مَغْفِرَةٍ وَذُو عِقَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Interesting little subtlety here again that I pointed out before in the sixth surah, but I'll point out here again. Your Lord is the Lord of forgiveness. ذُو مَغْفِرَةٍ, Lord of painful retribution. ذُو عِقَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Exactly same grammatical construct is used for both. Okay, the word ذُو and then the word after. ذُو is like the possessor of something, right? Like if you have a beard, you're called like ذُو لِحْيَةٍ, like you possess the beard. You can't just like detach it from your face. It's part of you. Okay, so that is how Allah describes himself as the one who forgiveness is part of him, but also the one who gives out painful punishment is also a part of him. But the beautiful thing is, لَذُو مَغْفِرَةٍ, the la is for extra emphasis. That your Lord, there is an extra emphasis that your Lord is the one who forgives. Meaning he forgives more and punishes less. He's inclined towards forgiveness, not towards painful retribution. He wants us to come to him so we can be forgiven, not so that we be punished. And that is the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with all of his creation. We ask Allah that he show us his mercy. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Also, the Quran mentions that the Quran is really Allah's words. وَلَوْ جَعَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا أَعْجَمِيًّا لَقَالُوا لَوْلَا فُصِّلَتْ آيَاتُهُ. Had we sent this Quran in any other language other than Arabic, they would have said, here they are the people of Quraysh, they would have said, why are its verses not clearly explained? You know, what's with this? Like, you know, an Arab prophet and a foreign scripture. So here Allah is explaining that why was it that the Quran is in, or why is it that the Quran is in Arabic? The reason the Quran is in Arabic, according to this ayah, is the Prophet ﷺ is an Arab prophet. He was ethnically Arab. So his first obligation to convey the message is to his own people, i.e. the people of Makkah. And that is the revelation. That's why the revelation was given to him in Arabic. And he, ﷺ, and that explains it. And had it been otherwise, because the Prophet ﷺ was chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that was the choice of Allah. Had now the Prophet have a different language of revelation, his own people, he couldn't explain this to his own people, and that becomes a contradiction. So this is an explanation of what is the reason why Allah chose the Quran to be in Arabic, because the Prophet was chosen to be the last Prophet, and his tongue, he's got to have one ethnicity and one tongue, that is the Arabic language, and thus he was given an Arabic Quran. But keep in mind, the Quran's guidance is not just for people who spoke Arabic in the past or speak Arabic today. قُلْ هُوَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا هُدًى وَشِفَاءً. It is a guide and a healing for those who believe, for all types of believers. It's a guide and a healing. If you understand it in its original language, that is a guide and a healing. If you are studying it as a translation, it's a guide and a healing. Subhanallah. And that is the case for those, whoever the believer is. And the one who is, the one who doesn't believe in it, irrespective of what language they speak, it is fi adanihim waqr. There is a deafness in their ears. And wahuwa alayhim ama, and a covering over their eyes. It's as if they are called from a distant place. أُولَٰئِكَ يُنَادَوْنَ مِن مَكَانٍ بَعِيدٍ. As if they can barely make out what's being said. So it doesn't matter if this person who is the recipient, who is in the audience of the Prophet ﷺ, understands the Arabic language as perfectly as it can be understood. Yet if this is a person who doesn't believe, Allah says, it's as if he can't even hear it. Because the understanding of this book and its implementation goes back to the heart. The person who wants to understand, who wants to implement, who wants the closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's the one who will understand it. That's the one who will get guidance from it. That's the one who it will be a shifa for. Doesn't matter what language they speak. So that is what Allah mentions about this. Also, Musa alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam is mentioned here. Why is the is mentioned here? He faced the same challenges with the Pharaoh, and he alayhi salam triumphed over the Pharaoh. وَلَقَدْ أَتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ فَاخْتُلِفَ فِيهِ. I've highlighted this in red because these are the recurring themes of all the Hamims. We gave Moses the book, but differences were created concerning it. And had it not been for a word that had already gone forth from your Lord, the matter would have been decided between them, and certainly they are in a grave doubt about it. Okay. Now conclusion comes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks at the very end of the surah in ayah number 49. He addresses people at the very end, saying, لا يسأم الإنسان من دعاء الخير. Man never tires of asking for the good things of life, but if evil fortune befalls him, he abandons all hope, giving himself up to despair. And then if some good happens, we make him taste some of our mercy. After adversity has touched him, he is sure to say, this is my due, hadha li. And I don't think that the hour is going to come. I have everything, so why be concerned about the next life? And even if I return to my Lord, I will find he will surely reward me really well. The fickle nature of humans. When bad times come, just everything is bad. Nothing is going right. When good times are around, as if nothing has ever gone wrong and nothing will ever go wrong, right? But the reality is, good and bad is part of life. It should not be a measure of your success. It should not be a measure of your contentment or how you are or your standing in life. It should not be a measure of your standing in life. A person might be going through tough times. And that person is probably a beloved person to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that person could be enjoying luxury after luxury. And that is a person who maybe a possibility has never considered salvation in the next life or ever worked for it. So this is an important consideration. Allah says, but truly we shall tell those who deny the truth all that they did and make them suffer a harsh punishment. When we grant a blessing to man, he turns away and draws aside. But when evil touches him, he is full of endless prayers. فَذُو دُعَاءٍ عَرِيضٍ Full of it. Endless prayers. Oh Allah, please help me get out of this. Oh Allah, please give me a job. Oh, let's all get together, read Quran so I can get a job. Right? it's a fickle nature. Don't be like that. That's not what a believer is supposed to be. A believer is supposed to be patient in bad times, thankful in good times. Okay? That is Surah Fussilat, Surah number 41. We go to Surah Shura 42, in which it begins with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, Hamim, and then Ain, Sin, Qaf. There is five disjointed letters here. Then Allah mentions something about the Quran. كَذَلِكَ يُوحِي إِلَيْكَ وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ اللَّهُ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ Thus God, the powerful, the wise, sends revelation to you as he did to those before you. The Quran is mentioned, how it is a revelation from Allah. It is a revelation like Allah has sent to those before the Prophet ﷺ. And this is a Quran, again, Quranan Arabiya, a Arabic Quran that Allah has revealed to you. And the first recipient of the warning of the Arabic Quran that Allah has sent to the Prophet ﷺ is لِتُنْذِرَ أُمَّ الْقُرَىٰ You may warn the mother of cities. And that is the nickname of Makkah. وَمَنْ حَوْلَهَا And those who are around Makkah. So that's the first obligation of the Prophet ﷺ. But the Prophet ﷺ, as we know, was sent, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا كَافَةً لِلنَّاسِ We have sent you for all of mankind. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ We've sent you as a mercy for all of humanity. In fact, not just all of humanity, all of the world, right? The humans and the non-humans among them. The Prophet ﷺ, the moment he had a semblance of peace with the people of Quraysh once he was in Mecca, the first thing he did, he started writing letters to all the major emperors of the world, to the Roman emperor, the Byzantine emperor, to the Sassanid empire, to the king of Egypt, to the king of Abyssinia in Africa. He would write a letter inviting them to Islam because he knew that was his obligation as well. But his obligation started first with the people of Mecca, and that is what this ayah explains. وَتُنْذِرَ يَوْمَ الْجَمْعِ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ The warning of the message, or the warning of the Quran, the message of it is to warn them of the day of gathering, which is sure to come. That is what Islam is about. That is what the Quran's message is, that there is a day of reckoning, a day of gathering, the day of judgment, and we work for that. We need to be aware of that, and we need to build up to that. Okay? فَرِيقٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَفَرِيقٌ فِي السَّعِيرِ There is a group that will be in the garden, and a group that will be in the fire. That's going to be the reality on that day, and we work towards now to become those who are of paradise, who earn Allah's forgiveness and His mercy on that day. Allah mentions also that if He had willed, He could have made you all one people, meaning everybody would have been Muslim and everybody would just go into paradise. That could have been Allah's choice. But it's His prerogative. وَلَكِنْ يُدْخِلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ فِي رَحْمَتِهِ He lets us choose. And then he chooses from amongst us who choose to come close to him. He chooses us to be part of his mercy. And those who don't, وَالظَّالِمُونَ مَا لَهُمْ مِنْ وَلِيٍّ وَلَا نَصِيرٍ, the ones who are wrongdoers have neither protector nor helper. Okay? It speaks about, I'll skip this part and I'll come back to this in a sec, speaks about the religion is one, a completion of the previous revelations. A very important idea. The religion of Islam is not like the founder of it, is not the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is a continuation in a line of prophets. He is the last of the prophets. And the deen started with the first of Allah's messengers, the first human being, which is Adam, and the first messenger of Allah, which is Nuh. شَرَعَ لَكُم مِّنَ الدِّينِ مَا وَصَّى بِهِ نُوحًا. God has ordained for you the same religion which he enjoined on Noah, and which he revealed to you, which he enjoined upon Abraham and Moses and Jesus, alayhi wasalam, so that you should remain steadfast. An aqimu dina, establish the religion, the acts of the rituals of the religion, wala tatafarraqu fihi, do not become divided. One of the themes of the Hawamim is don't divide yourselves, especially as a minority. Majority or minority, irrespective, but especially as a minority, don't become divided. Subhanallah. وَلَا تَتَفَرَّقُوا فِيهِ, because that leads to weakness and it leads to, unfortunately, not getting the purpose, not achieving the objective of da'wah. Okay? كَبُرَ عَلَى الْمُشْرِكِينَ مَا تَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَيْهِ اللَّهُ يَسْتَبِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَهْدِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ يُنِيبُ. God chooses for himself whoever he pleases and guides towards him whoever turns to him. The religion is one, a completion of the previous revelations, but people are people, meaning they will, وَمَا تَفَرَّقُوا إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَهُمُ الْعِلْمُ بَغْيًا بَيْنَهُمْ. They became divided only after knowledge had reached them out of mutual jealousy. That's how people are. People will do irrational things in the name of religion, and they will find ways to justify it. And that's why you see it's not like from Nuh alayhi salam to the Prophet salam was one beautiful, unbroken chain of religion that was followed by the people. The people split apart. The people broke apart into sects, even though the message of the religion remained the same consistently. So this is unfortunately how people are. Don't get discouraged by the people. Look at what Allah has revealed, and that is should be what is our guiding light. Now, what's interesting also is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned something interesting here, is that this kind of deferring and disunity leads to وَإِنَّ الَّذِينَ أُورِثُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ لَفِي شَكٍّ مِّنْهُ مُرِيبٍ. Those who inherited the book after them are indeed in grave doubt, amounting to suspicion about it. What does that mean? That means, subhanAllah, that those who come afterwards and they were born in Islam, they were born in the faith, they didn't accept the faith. When they see their elders differ and bicker and fight, they start to doubt the merits of their faith. That's what ends up happening. So that's why Allah says to the Prophet, don't do that. فَلِذَلِكَ فَدْعُوا. Invite people to the faith, wastaqim, and hold fast to it yourself. كَمَا أُمِرْتَ وَلَا تَتَّبِعْ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ, and do not be misled by their desires. Okay? Very, very important. Keep on inviting. And say, I believe in the book which has been sent down, and I am commanded to do justice between you. God is our Lord and your Lord. We are responsible for what we do, and you are responsible for what you do. There is no contention between us. لَا حُجَّةَ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ. Between us and you, Allah will gather us and He will judge us, and to Him will be our return. The message is to keep on inviting, to keep on working, to keep on staying together. Sister Hira online is asking, the Meccan people knew the history of Ad and Thamud. Ad and Thamud, yes, they knew about Ad and Thamud for sure. All right. Also, in this particular surah, we have Allah describing that nothing is like Allah. Okay? He is the one fatir as-samawati wal ard, the creator of the heavens and the earth. He has made spouses for you from among yourselves. i.e. Allah is the only one who is the Fatir of Samawati wal Ard. Nobody else is the originator, the one who brought into existence the first time. Allah is unlike His creation. You guys are pairs, you're spouses, you live together, you have, you know, somebody who's a partner. Allah does not have a partner. يَذْرَأُكُمْ فِيهِ He multiplies you, you multiply as creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one, uniquely one, has always been one and always will be one. Okay, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ Nothing can be compared to Him. He is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ And a very, this is a, you know, ayah that is a critical ayah in our understanding of our theology, our aqidah, that لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ There's nothing like Allah, nothing that there's nothing like Allah. Okay, He is unique. He is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. And as you see, the ayah makes that point very clearly, that He is the only one who created and originated the skies and the earth. Nobody else has done that. You as people are pairs and spouses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not, has no spouse, has no child. You multiply and have children. Allah does not have children. So the comparison, compare and contrast is very clear. Allah is uniquely one and nothing is like Him. He is all-hearing and all-knowing. So ayah number 25. He is who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He accepts repentance from His servants. He pardons their sins. He knows everything you do. He does so knowingly, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He responds to your dua, to those who believe and do good deeds. Meaning their dua is, you know, made as not just like, hey God, I need help now, so help me. No, no. This is their lifestyle. Believing and doing good. Believing and doing good. And then they make dua. Allah responds to their dua and gives them more. وَيَزِيدُهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ That's a beautiful explanation of who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. But the ones who deny, the ones who are rejecting the truth, and agonizing torment awaits them. Okay, Allah mentions that difficulties of life, don't let them get you down, right? Because Allah is the one who sends the rain after they have despaired, and spreads His mercy far and wide. People will despair. Allah's like, don't be like that, because your relief is very close. Just look at how there is like no rain, a little bit of a drought type situation. And then there is rain. Inevitably, the rain is going to come and fall. So don't perpetually remain in a state of despair. In fact, what should be done is to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? This surah talks about consultation and teamwork, as particularly it relates to da'wah, how we should all work together to call people to Allah, and how our relationship should be a relationship of mutual consultation and teamwork. فَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّن شَيْءٍ Whatever you've been given is only temporary provision in this life, but what God has is better and more lasting for those who believe and those who put their trust in their Lord. Who are these amazing people who believe and put their trust in their Lord? Who are they? They are the ones who refrain from heinous sins. يَجِسْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ They leave all of the major sins. They do not engage in them. They stay far away from them. وَالْفَوَاحِشِ And gross indecencies, shameless actions. They stay away from that. They are not engaged in that. We ask Allah to make us of these people. وَإِذَا مَا غَضِبُوهُمْ يَغْفِرُونَ And when they are angry, number three, they forgive. Not that they lash out their anger, they're able to control it, and when it subsides, they're able to forgive. And that's an incredible person who is able to do that. There's a word here, إِذَا مَا غَضِبُوا In grammar, they say this ma is extra, not like extra as in like this person is extra, but extra as in it's adding emphasis, is adding extra emphasis. Like this is a person who's really angry, but still, despite the fact that they're really angry, they're able to forgive. That's the third thing. Number four, استجابوا لربهم, they respond to their Lord. How so? وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ They establish the prayer. Number five, وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ And they conduct their affairs by mutual consultation. Meaning when they are deciding something, it's not like, hey, it's my way or the highway. No, no. We all work together. We all discuss together. The Prophet ﷺ would do this regularly Even though he was receiving revelation from Allah, he was still asked the people, what should we do? Right? What about the rest of us? None of us received revelation. So it's even more pertinent for us to ask what people think so we can all work together. There's buy-in, and that leads us to attain our results. And then number six, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ, they spend out of what we have provided them. What's amazing is actually like the relationship between, that was the sixth part, that you know, when you work together, you're going to be angry. But don't let that anger stop you from praying together. Don't let that stop you from working together. And really respecting each other's opinions, even though you got angry. And don't let that stop you from, you know, spending on each other and giving each other nice gifts and whatnot. It's a beautifully connected sequence of ayat. A person who's forgiving isn't someone who is complacent to injustice. When they are attacked, they defend themselves. Okay, harm should be requited by an equal harm. And whoever pardons, whoever finds in their heart to pardon, will find their reward with God. But then the one who chooses to defend himself, get justice, that person is not to be blamed. If a woman is seeking justice for something that happened to her by her husband, and it's a legitimate case of oppression, she's not blameworthy for seeking justice. Okay? She's not. Okay? That is how, what our religion teaches. وَلَمَنْ انْتَصَرَ بَعْدَ ظُلْمِهِ, whoever was wronged, and then they seek justice and seek to defend themselves, that is a person that can't be blamed. Okay, the one who is to be blamed is الَّذِينَ يَظْلِمُونَ النَّاسِ, the one who transgresses, the one who oppresses. وَيَبْغُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ, and they transgress in the earth without justification. And that is those are the people that painful punishment is in store for them. But you are wronged, you have the right to seek justice. But وَلَمَنْ صَبَرَ وَغَفَرَ, the one who is able to be patient and forgive, فَإِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ لَمِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ, that is a next level. That's a next level. فَإِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ لَمِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ, that is something that requires a great amount of courage and resolution. This is what the ayah lays out for. We work together, we get angry, it's fine. We don't let our anger define ourselves. We forgive each other. We pray together. We trust Allah together. We respect each other's opinion. We take each other's opinion. We spend on each other. And then, if someone has been wronged, because that happens, okay, you have the right to get revenge, or you have the right to get equal, to get justice. But if you choose to let that go, and you choose to be the bigger person, that is truly great courage, and that is truly a great person. SubhanAllah, we ask Allah to make us this. And people, when they do this, that is when true success comes. The Prophet ﷺ is told, your job, O Prophet ﷺ, is to convey the message. O Prophet, your job is to explain the message to the people. Ayah number 48, as it's loading, I'll read to you. فَإِنْ أَعْرَضُوا فَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَفِيظًا, if they turn away, O Prophet, you are not sent as their keeper. You're not a policeman. Your job is to, إِنْ عَلَيْكَ إِلَّا الْبَلَاغِ, to convey the message only. That's it. Okay. Now, Allah actually concludes this surah by talking about how He gives people kids as He pleases. He says, it is Allah's kingdom. The heavens and the earth, the cosmos is Allah's kingdom. He has control. He creates what He wants. He gives the gift. Yahabu is actually the word used for giving a gift. He gives the gift to who He wants of women, of females, daughters. Okay, and He gives the gift of whoever He wants to whoever He wants of male children, i.e., of boys. أَوْ يُزَوِّجُهُمْ ذُكْرَانًا أَوْ وَإِنَاثًا, or He gives the gift of both males and females to whoever He wants. That's someone who has boys and girls. وَيَجَعْلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ عَقِيمًا, and He leaves whoever He wants barren. إِنَّهُ عَلِيمٌ قَدِيرٌ, He is all-knowing and all-powerful. That is undeniable. Okay, that is undeniable. Allah, it is His choice. He chooses to give us kids or not give us kids. And in the kids that he gives us, he chooses us to give us either girls or boys or both girls and boys. Okay? That's totally his choice. Also, what is totally his choice is who does he pick for a prophet? وَمَا كَانَ لِبَشَرٍ أَن يُكَلِّمَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَّا وَحْيًا. It is Allah's choice who he picks for a prophet. And the prophet he picks, Allah speaks to him by revelation or from behind a veil or by sending a messenger, Jibreel alayhi salam, and then whatever is revealed to him is revealed. وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِّنْ أَمْرِنَا. And that is how, ayah number 52 says, we have revealed a spirit to you, O Prophet, by our command. Meaning the Qur'an is like a spirit, is what brings you to life. Also, the ruh, you know, like Jibreel alayhi salam is the one who's brought the Qur'an, the message of the Qur'an to you. The Prophet was chosen by Allah, just like he chooses who he gives kids to, he chooses his prophets as well. The same analogy is made. And the Prophet, Allah says, you were not, مَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِيمَ الْكِتَابُ وَلَا الْإِيمَانِ. You did not know what is the scripture or faith. That was not something you learned previously. That wasn't something that was knowledge that was accessible before. But we send it to you, O Prophet. And we made it a light, guiding with it whoever we will of our servants. And you, Prophet, are truly guiding people to a straight path, the path of the ones to whom all of the cosmos belongs to. Ala ilallahi tasirul umur. Indeed, all matters return to Allah. Surah Zukhruf continues this pattern. Okay, Hamim and the description of the Quran wal Kitab al Mubin. Inna ja'alnahu Quran al Arabiya. Okay, it continues that. It, however, now goes to an interesting place. It goes to the place of talking about what is the pathetic behavior of Quraysh. Particularly, if I want to highlight in the few minutes that I have left, the Quraysh criticizing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for choosing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a prophet. Okay, and it ties beautifully with the end of the last surah. They say, why wasn't the Quran sent down to one of the two great men of the two cities? Why wasn't the city of Mecca someone else like more wealthy, like Walid ibn Mughira? Why wasn't he chosen? Why wasn't somebody else in Ta'if, you know, like Masud ibn Amr al-Thaqafi from Ta'if? Why wasn't he chosen? He's like a really rich man. He has a lot of money, right? Because if Allah's choosing, he's going to choose like the most blessed of us, right? And who's the most blessed of us? The one who's got the most money. So how come this orphan child was chosen to be a prophet? Now Allah responds to this. Ahum yaqsimuna rahmat rabbik. Is it they who apportion the mercy of your Lord? Are they responsible for distributing Allah's mercy? It is we who distribute among them. Here's an example. Allah gives as He wishes to whoever He wishes a livelihood in the world. And others, some are raised in ranks above others. And they're raised in ranks so much in life that they take their the ones who are their subordinates or the ones who are lower to serve them. Okay, a lot of the time this is earned, but more often than not, it is actually a privilege that's inherited. It's generational wealth that Allah is referring to here. Okay, so Allah says, look, I give you kids as I wish. I am giving you your sustenance as I please. Is it not my decision that I choose a prophet of my own choice? وَرَحْمَةُ رَبِّكَ خَيْرٌ مِّمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ. The mercy of your Lord is better than the wealth which they amass. وَلَوْلَا أَن يَكُونَ النَّاسُ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا. If not, that mankind would all be one community. لَجَعَلْنَا لِمَن يَكْفُرُ بِالرَّحْمَنِ لِبُيُوتِهِمْ سُقُفًا مِّن فِضَّةٍ وَمَعَارِجَ عَلَيْهَا يَظْهَرُونَ. If it wasn't that people would just abandon faith because of the luxuries of the world, Allah said He would have made for every disbeliever all the excesses of materialism that you could imagine. Houses with roofs of silver and silver staircases that ascend, and couches and silver doors. All that was zukhrufan, all sorts of ornaments. If Allah wanted, He would have given all the material possessions of this world to everybody who disbelieved in Him. You know why? Because it doesn't matter to Allah. It doesn't actually amount much. What really matters to Allah is, وَإِنْ كُلُّ ذَلِكَ لَمَّا مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. This is all but enjoyment, temporary enjoyment of this life. The real measure of success, the real measure of what is Allah's love and what matters to Allah is وَرَحْمَةُ وَالْآخِرَةُ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. The life of the next life. It is the life to come. That is what matters to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is how Allah expresses His love. So here He's responding to that claim. He's like, wealth is not a measure of who's blessed. Wealth is just either you've earned it or it is just something you have inherited. It's a privilege that you are enjoying because of the situation that you were in. It's generationally passed on. That is that. It doesn't show anything about Allah's blessings or privilege or Allah's love for any person. It's just wealth. It may be given to a blessed person. It may be given to an extremely wicked person. But the wealth itself doesn't prove anything. What proves Allah's love and His blessings is the one who is chosen to do stuff for the next life, the one who's building his house in the next life. And that is the response that Allah gives to the people of Quraysh. The people of Quraysh had a bunch of other excuses. They would say, well, if Allah wanted, we would believe. Allah said, that's a pathetic excuse because you do choose. And at the end of the day, ultimately, all choice rests with Allah, but He has given you the choice to choose today. So don't blame Allah for your choices. They would say, we can't follow, worship Allah when... that's not our culture. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala references something very interesting when they say this is not our culture. Sorry. When Allah mentions this, when they reference their culture, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, actually, we have found our fathers, worshipping idols. Well, Allah said, well, your father, Ibrahim alayhi salam, right? Your father, Ibrahim alayhi salam, right here, وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ لِأَبِيهِ, he was not a polytheist. So don't say it was your way of your fathers or your culture. No, it's a corruption of the way of your father Ibrahim alayhi salam. So all these things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions. He mentions also in this surah something that's interesting that I didn't that's not highlighted in other parts of the Quran, which is the return of Isa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam is mentioned, but the return of Isa is also mentioned here, which is an interesting passage. He says, when Jesus, the son of Mary, is held up as an example, your people raise an outcry to this. إِذَا قَوْمُكَ مِنْهُمْ يَصِدُّونَ. And they say that are gods better than better or him? And they cite him only to challenge you. They are a contentious people. It is a false argument. It's false equivalency. We don't even accept Isa alayhi salam as a god. And all of a sudden you're comparing him to your gods and asking us which one is better? That's just a fallacious argument that doesn't do anything and all it does is distract. But Allah says He is a righteous servant who Allah had favored and gave him and made him an example for the children of Israel. And then He says, وَإِنَّهُ لَعِلْمٌ لِلسَّاعَةِ. He is a sign of the hour. Meaning, when He is back, that is a sign of that the hour is upon us. The day of judgment is very near. فَلَا تَمْتَرُنَّ بِهَا. Have no doubt about it. وَاتَّبِعُونَ. But follow me. This is a straight path. Okay. So it mentions about that. It mentions a very severe passage. It mentions how Allah will give the believers all these beautiful things in this world. But then Allah mentions a very severe passage about those who have rejected Him. Innal mujrimeen, the criminals. Again, the idea is they're convicted on the Day of Judgment. And they will have no qualms about the justice that was served to them. So they are convicted criminals when they are in the fire of hell. Khalidun, to endure it forever. La yufattaru anhum, from which there is no relief. Wahum fihi mublisun, they will remain in there in utter despair. We have not wronged them. It was they who were wrongdoers. It's not that Allah, wronged them by pushing them in one direction. They chose their own choices, and the consequences of their choices are what they have to live with now. And they are going to cry. They will say, Ya Malik. This is one of the names of the angels who was the guardian of the fire of hell. Iql, yaqdi alayna rabbuk. If only your Lord would put an end to us. Can we just die? قَالَ إِنَّكُمْ مَاكِثُونَ The response will be, no, you are here to stay. لَقَدْ جِئْنَاكُمْ بِالْحَقِّ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَكُمْ لِلْحَقِّ كَارِهُونَ We have certainly brought you the truth, but most of them have an aversion for the truth. We ask Allah to save us from this torment. If I can just take a minute or two, I want to end at 7:10, inshallah, sorry, to talk about Surah Dukhan, right? Surah Dukhan is the smoke. Here begins again with Hamim and Kitab al-Mubin. But this time, something interesting. Something interesting. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatin mubarakah. We have sent it down in a blessed night, i.e. Laylatul Qadr. We ask Allah to make us of those who experience it, live it, and enjoy its blessings and attain its rewards. We have always been sending warnings. It's a night when every important matter is decided from us. And we have been sending messages from the beginning to humanity as a sign of mercy and from your Lord who is all hearing and all knowing. Sami'ul Alim. In this passage, in this surah, short surah, Allah talks about how the day of judgment will be. فَرْتَقِبْ يَوْمَ تَأْتِ السَّمَاءُ بِدُخَانٍ مُبِينٍ The day when the sky brings forth plainly visible clouds of smoke that will envelop people. And people will say, رَبَّنَا اكْشِفْ عَنَّا الْعَذَابِ Our Lord, relieve us from this torment. We are believers now. Please, now save us. Too late. أَنَّا لَهُمُ الذِّكْرَى On the day of judgment, people saying, we believe now. Or the start of the day of judgment, it's too late. How can they benefit? And before that, they had had a clear messenger, رَسُولٌ مُبِينٌ And they called him what? قَالُوا مُعَلَّمٌ مَجْنُونٌ He is taught by others. He's crazy. He's مُعَلَّمٌ Someone who has... Someone else is teaching him, right? That was what they said then, and now you want to believe? Too late now. Allah mentions as a parallel to, again, the people of Quraysh rejecting the Prophet is Fir'aun rejecting Musa alayhi salam. So we tried the people of Pharaoh before them, and a noble messenger was sent to them who said, hand over the God's servants to me. I'm a trustworthy messenger for you, and don't set yourselves above God. I bring you clear authority. Okay. They were, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to them, you set out by night with my servants, for certainly you will be pursued, but leave the sea parted. وَتْرُكِ الْبَحْرَ رَهْوًا Because Musa alayhi salam was probably trying to, you know, bring the sea back together after, you know, hitting the staff on the sea, on the water, but the sea did not rejoin after it was parted. It was remained parted. And Allah said to Musa, وَتْرُكِ الْبَحْرَ رَهْوًا Leave it, because they are going to drown in it. And how many gardens and fountains they left behind. And how many cornfields and splendid buildings and pleasant things in which they delighted. All of this they left behind and other people took it. And that's the reality of life. Life, you build, and then you die. And other people will take what you built. But what you keep is what you spend for the sake of Allah. What you keep is what you built for the next life. But the thing is, when the one who dies, who didn't build for the next life, who was an oppressor in this world, an evil person, فَمَا بَكَتْ عَلِهِمُ السَّمَاءُ وَالْأَرْضِ Neither the heaven nor the earth wept for them, nor were they allowed any respite. But when a righteous person dies, the sky cries, the earth cries, the place where they would make sajda cries, that this person who would worship Allah has now left and departed. This is Surah Dukhan. It actually concludes with a very terrible punishment that's described in about hellfire that is not described in other part of the Quran, which is the tree of Zakkum. And that is a food for the sinners. It is like the dregs of oil. It will boil in their bellies, like the boiling of hot water. This is like oil that's boiling in their bellies like hot water. And that will be the punishment, that'll be the food provided for the people of hellfire. It will be said, seize him and drag him into the midst of hell. And then on top of his head, pour a boiling water over his head as punishment. And it will be said mockingly, taste this. You consider yourself to be mighty and honorable. That is what you used to doubt. This is what you used to doubt. So that is a very devastating glimpse of the punishment that Allah mentions in Surah Dukhan. Of course, Allah right after mentions the righteous, how they will be in a safe place. Inshallah, we'll end with that. We've covered briefly Surah Dukhan and briefly Surah Zukhruf. I encourage you to read the translations of them yourselves, along with the accompanying notes. And tomorrow, inshallah, we'll start the next juz. Jazakumullahu khayran for sticking around till the end. Today, again, we covered a little bit of a lot because we left Surah Fussilat until today. So I appreciate your patience. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us. Jazakumullahu khayran. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa jazakum wa iyyakum.